Well, I remember just a couple months ago, so many LSU fans were freaking out because in the 2023 class, there were only a handful of kids from Louisiana that had committed to play at LSU. The Can Brian Kelly recruit in Louisiana arguments were coming out, and I tried to remind everyone, hey, it's only June, it's only July. There's still time. And here we are in August, and there have been four-star plus players that have committed to play for LSU, all out of LSU's backyard. So, Sports Illustrated recruiting insider John Garcia Jr. joins the show today to break down four of LSU's newest recruits.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. We're joined by John Garcia today, who is the best. He's the recruiting insider for Sports Illustrated. And I'd like to thank LinkedIn Jobs for being the official college football recruiting sponsor across the Locked On College Network. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates that you want to talk to faster. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. Terms and conditions apply. Well, John, last time we talked, I asked you, hey, there are a lot of LSU fans out there that are a little bit concerned that of LSU's 2023 class, there is only a couple of kids from the state of Louisiana. We had kids from Indiana, from Maryland, from Florida. And people were concerned, hey, Brian Kelly's got a good thumbprint on the rest of the nation, but what about Louisiana? Well, the past week or so, week and a half, I think has completely changed that because Brian Kelly and this LSU coaching staff has landed four massive commitments all out of the state of Louisiana. So we'll start with the first one and we'll start with the biggest one and one that I think that was kind of the catalyst for these next three guys to make their commitments to LSU. And that's Shelton Sampson, five-star wide receiver in LSU's backyard at a Catholic high in Baton Rouge. What is LSU getting out of Shelton Sampson? And I guess I'll ask you first and foremost, do you think that he was a catalyst for these next three guys and maybe for more Louisiana kids to come?
Yeah, Carolyn, that's a great question. We see prospects committing all over the country, obviously, but when there's kind of this 2-3 year alpha in the state that everybody knows is if not the best prospect, one of the few elite prospects in the state, when he makes his move, it always has ramifications elsewhere. And I think, yeah, the question of can Brian Kelly recruit Louisiana? I mean, that was outside of Arch Manning, of course, this would have been the first guy you bring up as, hey, this is the prospect you have to land at LSU. We made that theoretical list for this class when Brian took that job. Shelton Sampson would have been number one, two, three at worst on the list. So when he pops, other moves are going to happen. And I think it creates some benefit of the doubt locally for LSU. Like you said, nationally, class was rolling, top 10, balanced. It had just about everything you needed, but really, the month of August has been about home and filling in some of those perceptional needs, quarterback and some big wins in the state of Louisiana, led by Shelton himself, who's a dynamic wide receiver and massive, 6'3", 6'4", long wide receiver who really pushes vertically with relative ease. He's kind of built like Julio Jones was in high school. I mean, this is the alpha type of outside wide receiver that we've kind of come to expect LSU to trot out there on Saturdays. Obviously, they'll have, one of the top receivers in the country this year, just like they had over the last few years. But passing that torch to another prospect is coming here pretty soon. So I think Sampson's about as ideal of a fit as you could have asked for at the position relative to his size, his skill set, and obviously his location, the geography element of this whole conversation. So yeah, he is a catalyst. I think, again, he's one of the best players in America, certainly one of the best wide receivers in America. And now you start to look at this receiver class and say, hey, this is all of a sudden one of the best in the country when you talk about, if Jalen Brown's your number two guy. I mean, I think you're in a really great spot because he'd be
You're
the
doing pretty
alpha
well.
number one for just about every other school in the country. So LSU's doing it again at that position. And yeah, he was certainly the catalyst for the local push we've seen from the Tigers of late.
And you mentioned this wide receiver class, and adding Shelton Sampson obviously just bolsters up the talent in this wide receiver class so much. But before Shelton Sampson made his commitment, of course, bringing in a local guy was so important. Of course, bringing in a player of that caliber was so important. But I was looking at this class and thinking, this class doesn't need just more offensive players. This class needs more wide receivers. Because you look at the 2023 LSU Tigers, I mean, Kayshon Boutte, you can almost expect that he is going to be entering the draft at the end of this year. Jahre Jenkins is exercising his eligibility at the end of this year. Kyren Lacy is also eligible for the draft. Not sure if he'll enter the NFL draft or not, but you're looking at three at eight of your current wide receivers that will most likely be out in the 2023 class. So I'm looking at this wide receiver room, like, it needs more depth and it needs more talent. So in your opinion, do you think that Shelton Sampson is the kind of player that can come in and contribute immediately? Because I think that's what LSU is going to need.
100%, Caroline. His strengths align with what you need on every wide receiver core. Obviously, the great size speaks for itself. 6'3", 6'4", 185 pounds or so. He'll obviously gain weight before he steps foot in Death Valley for the very first time. But also, it's just the vertical energy he brings. He's a guy that even if you use him situationally, you can take advantage and really, you know, put a dent in a defensive game plan with his skill set. So if you bring him in as a true freshman, and even if you just ask him to do what he does best, which is pushing the ball down the field, vertical routes, nine routes, posts, deep digs, third level stuff. If you just ask him to do that with the type of athletes and other stars that LSU is going to always have at the position, I think you could build a strong wide receiver core. So even if it's not, you know, a Ja'Marr Chase type of, you know, breakout season, contributing as the third or fourth receiver with that specific skill set is absolutely something that I think gets him on the field very, very quickly. And then again, as we talk about building this receiver class, now you've got different types of prospects who provide variance from a height and weight perspective and from a skill set perspective that will allow at least one of them to see the field right out of the gates. Because as you just alluded to, it looks like that's going to be a necessity come 2023. And that's something that, again, if you want to recruit at the elite level, you have to have freshman contributors. Every title team we see in college football has these freshmen or first-year players that come in and absolutely splash. Derek Stingley was a freshman on that 2019 LSU roster, right? Which is so low.
Best college season.
About the NFL, right? He was the banner freshman on that roster. So every single title team, you need a couple young guys to really come in and splash. And there's no doubt that positionally and skill set wise, Shelton Sampson has that juice that LSU is going to need when Boutte and those guys are gone.
So you're hanging out with some friends and you're putting back a few drinks. You're having fun. You're hanging out. But a few becomes a few too many and the evening comes to a close and people start to head out and you think about calling a ride, whether that's a friend or a ride share. But then you think, no, you live super close. You can make it home. It's no big deal. Now, what are the odds that you'll get pulled over anyways? And even so, what is the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up. Well, maybe you lose your license, or you lose your job, or you total your car, or you could even kill someone. That's the reality of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. And that's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe, plan ahead, and get a ride. In this day and age, you've got so many options for rides. It's at a click of a button on your phone. There are several different ride services that you can call. And I promise you, a $10 ride share service is a whole heck of a lot better than dealing with the consequences of driving drunk. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. So drive sober or get pulled over. And Shelton Sampson said when he was asked why LSU, he said, well, why not? He said, if I'm an athlete in Baton Rouge, why wouldn't I want to go to LSU? And that kind of feeling, that sentiment was reiterated just a few days later when LSU landed another huge marquee commitment out of Baton Rouge. And that was Ricky Collins, a four-star quarterback at Woodlawn High School in Baton Rouge. So he was committed to Purdue in October of 2021. Why the flip?
Well, this one was a long work in progress. Obviously, like you said, committed to Purdue before Brian Kelly ever took the LSU job. But you know, once he sat down in Baton Rouge, somebody came up to him and said, hey, look, this is a great year for quarterbacks in Louisiana. Yeah. You got to get one of these guys, whether it's Arch, Ricky Collins, Eli Holstein, you know, the list goes on and on. It's a great year. You can't miss at that position in state, just like last year with Walker Howard, which obviously he was able to solidify early in his LSU tenure. So immediately you got to start working on these guys. And it started with getting him on campus. And I know he's a Baton Rouge kid, but like you said, he was committed to Purdue from the beginning. So there was a natural kind of resistance for Ricky with LSU, you know, and it's understandable, right? If you're a Baton Rouge kid, the Tigers aren't all in on you very early, it could turn you off a little bit. So I think as the communication picked up between these two parties, it was very clear that, you know, Brian and company were like, hey, that was the last staff. You know, this is how we feel about you. And obviously the Arch domino fell, the Eli Holstein domino fell twice as he committed to A&M and now Alabama. So you were able to, you know, have some alignment to push for Ricky Collins. Because look, that was one of those positions that was really hard for LSU to kind of hit the ground running for, the quarterback spot, always important in general. But again, especially optically when you have so many great quarterbacks within state lines. So they started to get some spring visits, early summer visits, and you started to hear some LSU buzz coming from Collins. And they weren't alone in trying to flip him from Purdue. Florida State, Auburn, a couple other schools were really trying here. And then we saw him at the Elite 11 in LA, and he like didn't want to talk about recruiting, which could mean one of two things. One, a change is about to happen and, and he doesn't want to let on. Or two, he's completely solid and done and comfortable with that school. And while there was a comfort with Purdue, you just knew as those visits continued to accumulate down in Baton Rouge and the need for a quarterback in this class really became more apparent. And it's even more apparent now with, you know, Miles Brennan stepping away. I think that all aligned for Ricky Collins, and you go quietly in the dead period and make your move. And look, I don't think any Purdue fans are blaming him for making this switch. It's an opportunity to put on right at home for the school that, you know, you always wanted to play for. You know, he even said it in his commitment video. He reconsidered everything. He reset the process, which again, the coaching carousel will dictate. It was crazy last year, last fall. So all these kids had to reset something about their recruiting process because 20-something Power 5 jobs changed hands, including the one in his backyard at LSU. So all of those things combined made it for a longer flip play, but it probably makes it feel that much more important and that much more relieving for Brian Kelly and company to win this recruitment before the season begins to really capitalize on momentum. Like you said, that was probably kickstarted by Mr. Sampson himself, and I have no doubt that they've communicated both before and certainly after making those public commitments to LSU. And they're going to start working together as two local recruits, you know, to foster that chemistry and bond before they get there for good. So again, another reason why you've got to recruit locally, especially when it's one of these years where there's just a certain amount of juice at a certain position. You couldn't miss, optically, you couldn't miss on all these in-state quarterbacks. So really big for the class because you always need a quarterback, but also perceptionally to hit on one of those top three guys.
And looking at the LSU quarterback room as currently constructed with Walker Howard, Garrett Nussmeier, Jaden Daniels, each of the three of them have a very distinct skill set, maybe differing from one another. Jaden Daniels, of course, will be out by 2023, I can only assume. So you're looking at a quarterback room with Garrett Nussmeier, Walker Howard, and now Ricky Collins coming in as a true freshman. What will he bring into that 2023 quarterback room?
He'll bring some variance, which, again, we talked about at receiver. It's so important, I think, when you talk about developing a quarterback room. Yeah, you need to stagger the timelines here, right? The amount of eligibility each guy has, because, you know, the portal's crazy. There's always attrition in and out. And obviously this year's a great example of that at LSU. But athletically, he brings a variance to what Howard and Nussmeier bring. I think Nussmeier more of a kind of a gunslinger, a great off-script quarterback, confident, a lot of the traits you like. Walker Howard, a little bit more conventional, great, big frame, pocket passer who can do some things athletically, but you're not going to ask him to do a lot of those. And I think Ricky Collins provides a bit of a blend of those two styles. He's certainly comfortable off script. He might be as comfortable on the run as any quarterback in this class of 2023, which is a big deal because it's a loaded year at quarterback. But he's got this creativity to his game as well, both as a passer and as a runner, that I think is needed in the modern college football game. So, or NFL, any level of football, mm-hmm. you need that quarterback to be an on-field catalyst as well. So he's a playmaker. He's improved every year from a production standpoint in high school, which is something that you want to see. He had some really nice offseason showings this year, and I think it's going to spur him into a really strong senior season where this is going to look like an even better verbal commitment for LSU. And like you said, with the quarterback depth, it's a big need. There's a huge need because there's a lot of fluctuation in that quarterback room, and you need two or three scholarship guys minimum. So I think Ricky Collins is really important for LSU now and certainly moving forward.
And you mentioned it, the quarterback so rich in the state of Louisiana. I mean, not only did you have the most highly recruited quarterback of my lifetime in Arch Manning, but you also had Eli Holstein, two five-star quarterbacks in the state of Louisiana. And then you also have Ricky Collins, four-star quarterback, the third-ranked quarterback in the state of Louisiana. I think a lot of LSU fans may feel like LSU fell short, not landing one of Arch Manning or Ricky Collins. Eli Holstein. So what would you say to some LSU fans who may be looking at the commitment of Ricky Collins and thinking, great, but we could have had Arch?
I mean, you could have, certainly, but you didn't. That's recruiting. I think it's easy to fall into that trap, and you could probably say that every single year, right? I mean, obviously, you know, every Alabama does really well in Louisiana, Texas A&M. I mean, Texas this year certainly doing really well in Louisiana. It's so fertile an area or state, I should say, and the New Orleans metro in particular, that you can't win all those. Even, you know, the best LSU teams didn't win all of those battles and still had to push for some out-of-state guys. So I do think that it's easy to do that. As fans, we love to play the what-if game, and we love to, if things are bad, we love to kind of pile on, I guess. That's just the nature of fandom in 2022. But look, I think you had to land one of the three, and you did. So I think at the end of the day, you satisfied that big need both positionally and perceptionally, even though it wasn't Arch. And let's be honest, it probably never was going to be Arch. You know, I think that coaching change, it was going to be tough because he was a kid, like you said, the most famous and highly recruited kid ever, right? So that means the relationships he built were 2, 3, 4 year relationships with some of these schools and coaching staff. So when you make that change, you know, last fall, you're almost opting out of the Arch Manning race. And then with Holstein, committed very early to A&M. Again, really, you know, you were behind the eight ball because of the coaching change. So even when he decommitted and LSU pushed here, Eli already had those relationships with Alabama. He had started visiting them very consistently. So it's almost a product of circumstance that you were behind with all three of these guys. So to land one, to me, is still a very big deal. And you did it relatively quickly. You know, it's August. Mm-hmm. It's not like this is signing day, 11th hour, which you would still be happy with. So to get it done this early and allow Ricky to represent LSU as a senior and recruit, most importantly, for LSU the rest of the way over these next 4 to 6 months for the two signing days, that's about as big as it can get. And I do think those things have a lot to do with the kind of reverse perception of LSU recruiting within state lines. Now up to 8 verbal commitments in Louisiana. I think if you 6 months ago told LSU fans this was your class on August 17th, I don't think you get any rebuttals, any complaints, because you see some banner wins locally, nationally, and at the positions that you absolutely have to hit. So it's easy to pile on negatively, but it's also important to push the other way when you were really kind of up against it. Even as Brian Kelly, you know, pedigree, all that stuff, even as the new guy there, he was really up against it with these three quarterbacks in particular, all close or off the board by the time he got the job. So to push and get visits from all three of them, which they did, by the way, and eventually land one, was a pretty big, you know, recruiting victory in my eyes. And now you can kind of move forward and make sure that for the 24 class and the 25 class, you have those relationships, at least the foundation of those relationships, so that you don't run into this issue again.
BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your betting needs. You can find all your favorite sports and events at the number one source for your odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league. You've got Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. I mean, golf is heating up with this new LIV Golf Tour. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports wagering information. Live in-game betting, which is my favorite to bet on with MLB, is betting on the game live while it's happening. They've got scores and podcasts. They've got you covered with all of your sports betting info. So head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So kind of looking at two of the more recent commitments to LSU, two guys that didn't have their own hashtags, hashtag, you know, Shelton stays, hashtag Ricky reconsidered. But I look at Kylan Jackson, a safety at Zachary High School just outside of Baton Rouge. I mean, this 2023 recruiting class is stacked with defensive backs. And I don't think you can ever have too many defensive backs. But what does he add to this DB room?
He brings a level of playmaking and intellect to the position that you have to have. I mean, for every great LSU corner or safety that goes crazy at the combine and goes in the first round, you know, your Dante Jacksons, your Derek Stingleys, all those guys, you need the balance to that. You need the guys who get them lined up. You need the guys who make the right checks, but then can also make plays on their own right. And I think that's what we get here with Kylan. He is big kid, 6'1", 185, 190 pounds or so, but you just see him flashing up and down the secondary at Zachary, which won a state title last year with Eli Holstein, with Ashley Williams, some of these other great players.
So much
but he was a really
team.
Integral part of that run. And what I like about him is the IQ and the instincts he flashes. And we get it against the pass and the run. And I think in this day and age, you can be highly recruited if you're effective against one or the other. But to be a blend where you can counter both approaches, I think says a lot. He's physical at the point of contact. He can bring some lumber, but he's got some fluidity in his hips. He can really dig deep and play the range game coming off the hash as a deep safety and make plays on the football thereafter. So I think he's a versatile guy who you can see in the box, depending on how big he gets. But you could also ask him to cover his deep third and feel comfortable that from a risk-taking perspective, he's going to do what the safety position says it's going to do and be that last line of defense.
And the commitment that we heard from last night, Kyprian out of St. James, just right outside of New Orleans. So he's listed as an athlete, and he played, you know, in the past couple of years at running back, at safety, as a kick returner, wide receiver. Where is he best at, and where should LSU plan to use him?
Well, we talked about the need at wide receiver and the variance you have to bring in. And Kai brings his own element of balance to this class. He's not as big and rangy as Samson, not as explosive as Jaylen Brown, but he's kind of a blend. He's a comfortable, controlled wide receiver who you can utilize to the second and third level. I think you can give him a screen and allow him to move after the catch where he is incredibly effective on Friday nights, but you could also ask him to run routes to the second and third level with relative ease. He tracks it well. Big kid, 6'1", 6'2", 190 pounds or so, just really comfortable within his skill set. Not, again, not the flashiest guy out there, but a guy who kind of lives in those margins. So for every Jamar Chase, you need a Terrace Marshall. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you have some variance with some of these wide receivers from a physical perspective and from a skill set perspective. So I'm a bigger fan of Kai the more I watch him. I just think there's this instinctive ability when he has the ball in his hands to make guys miss. And as the game, again, continues to be more reflective of basketball on grass, the spread and space offenses, you need guys who can make others miss. You know, we get technical about it all the time, and it's great to break down leverage and route running and all that stuff. But you need guys with juice who can make defenders miss in the open field. So if you bring in this class and guys, you know, eventually live up to their potential, who are you double teaming? Okay, you're double teaming Samson, but you've got your fastest corner on Jaylen Brown. Who's going to cover Kai? Who could work in the slot or outside? You know, he's going to get one-on-one opportunities. So if you have that ability to catch something short and make a few guys miss and still outrun the rest, you've got a lot of opportunity ahead of you, and I think that is what makes this LSU crew one of the more intriguing wide receiver units, especially over the last month relative to these new commitments. Now you've got a little bit of everything in this wide receiver class, so come signing day and we look back on this cycle, this is going to be one of the groups positionally that we talk about nationally. You know, Ohio State's got a great group being brought in. Texas has another great group being brought in. LSU is going to be right in that conversation thereafter. I like Notre Dame's as well to bring the Brian Kelly moment full circle. But this LSU crew, I think, from a size and skill set perspective, has maybe the best balance and variance of all these wide receiver units we're seeing being accumulated across the country.
And I'm with you, because this wide receiver group looks like it has so much juice and variety. And I think that's going to pair so well, or it's going to be such an interesting pairing with this quarterback room in 2023 and beyond as well, with so many different skill sets and so many strong arms in this quarterback room as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, you want two of your three quarterbacks, 23 and beyond, yeah, are really comfortable off script. And that's really when you're putting a defensive back at a true disadvantage, because nobody can cover for 4 or 5 seconds. It's just, it's too long with the skill set of these wide receivers. It's just too much to ask. So when these quarterbacks break contain and can get outside of the pocket, you're giving these really special athletes at receiver that much more time to get open, which really stems the learning curve and allows you to kind of just play some street ball and do what you did, you know, growing up. And I think all those skill sets do really mold well together, because like you said, you've got guys with true explosiveness who really push it down the field, and then you got this other group that can catch it short and get you out of some trouble on 3rd and 15 and make some guys miss and move the chains and keep drives alive. So you have to have that in assembling a roster in general, and certainly we see that reflected in a lot of the best recruiting classes. And again, it's time to start putting this LSU group in that category among the nation's best, because they're starting to accumulate great position groups in addition to just great individual prospects.
There you go. I mean, LSU over the past month, 2 months, they've gone from being in the ranking all the way to number 6 in the country in their 2023 recruiting class, but kind of looking forward, there are several commitments on the horizon from 4-star, 5-star players, really talented players from all across the country. Who should LSU fans be looking for?
Well, I think they're doing a great job skill set or skill position wise, right? Mm-hmm. Wide receivers look good. Defensive backs starting to look really nice in this class as well. Yep. So naturally, the pass rusher group really strong too. Naturally, more beef, more big guys up front, I think, is kind of the next move for LSU, the defensive interior in particular. And you still need more bodies on the offensive line. That's something, again, Brian Kelly understands about as well as anyone, based on what he did at Notre Dame, always bringing in a 4 or 5 man offensive line group. Just a couple committed right now. I do think, though, there's a lot ahead for LSU at that position, but and all eyes there should probably move to Lance Hurt, you know, another in-state offensive tackle prospect who you're going to have to win a national battle against others to pull out. And I think LSU is starting to position himself or itself to pull in a Zalance Hurd, who's one of the best uncommitted offensive tackles really in the entire country. So to have that prospect in Louisiana, where you're starting to trend better for the in-state recruits, I think the timing here is really strong. And I don't have the date in front of me, Caroline, but he just recently set his verbal commitment date. I believe it's in the next few weeks. So the sooner the better if you're on this LSU campaign, because you need bodies up front. And again, he's probably the best offensive tackle within state lines and the best available offensive tackle maybe nationally outside of a guy or two. So I think, again, another important position to hit and another big perceptional win potentially with another in-state guy.
I know offensive tackle beef is something that this team could use right now in 2022, but hey, we'll take it in 23, 24 and beyond. Well, John Garcia, really appreciate you joining the show. Appreciate your insight. It's making us that much more excited for 23.
Always fun, Caroline. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate John Garcia for stopping by the show today. But coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll have a full breakdown of Wednesday's scrimmage in Tiger Stadium. What is the quarterback competition looking like? And who else stood out? But you can get more on the SEC by making Locked On SEC your second listen. Every day, host Chris Gordy and the local experts of Locked On take you across the SEC in 30 minutes. Make Locked On SEC your second listen.